Sunday school or life groups or Sunday morning Bible study, whatever your church calls it, its attendance used to represent just over 80% of a church's worship attendance. Now, in many of the churches we're visiting, that percentage is around 50%. Does it really matter? And if getting that percentage up would be a good thing, how can the pastor help that along? Well, let's talk about it here at smalltownbaptist.net. A young seminary graduate was seeking to pastor his first church. One pulpit committee requested an interview. As the student and the committee gathered together, the chairman began the questioning. "Young man, do you know your Bible?" The young man replied, "Yes, sir. I know the Bible from front to back." Another asked, "Do you know the stories and parables?" The candidate answered, "Oh, yes, I know all the stories and parables." Another committee member said, "Tell us one of the parables of Jesus. Let's say the parable of the Good Samaritan." And so he did. It went like this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who went down to Jericho by night, and he fell among stony ground. And the thorns rose up and choked him nearly half to death. He said, "What shall I do?" Then he said, "I shall arise and go to my father's house." And he arose and climbed up into a sycamore tree. The next day, Solomon and his wife Gomorrah came by, and they carried him down to the ark for Moses to take care of him. And as he was going through the eastern gate into the ark, he caught his hair in a limb, and he hung there for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards he hungered, and the ravens came and fed him. The next day the three wise men came and carried him down to Nineveh. And when he got down there, he found Delilah sitting on a wall. He cried out, "Chunk her down, boys." And they said, "How many times shall we chunk her down? Unto 7 times? And he said, "Nay, but unto 70 times 7. So they chunked her down 490 times. Then she burst asunder in their midst, and they picked up 12 baskets of her fragments. And they asked him, "Lord, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be?" The pulpit committee chairman said, "Folks, I think we ought to call him. I know he's young, but he sure knows his Bible." Now here's a challenge. Tell this joke to your members and watch to see who laughs and who doesn't. It will tell you who in your church knows their Bible stories. Track 2. Should we even be concerned about Sunday school attendance? Well, maybe not if it's done poorly. However, these Bible study groups have great potential to keep people connected to the church. A church is both a fellowship and a mission, both content and relationship. People with solid relationships in a church are far less likely to leave it. You don't get that sitting alone on the back row in the worship service. When you have classes which are intentional so that their members don't fall between the cracks, you have assistant shepherds. They can provide an early warning system when a member is wandering off track or is in trouble. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." If the worship service seems like a concert, if the members perceive it as the church show that they go to watch, this each of you building each other up thing won't happen. Our Bible study groups work together with the preaching service to fulfill that command to build each other up and for each of you to contribute. Such classes have a unique evangelistic capacity. Being around a group of Christians is a powerful witness when they see how believers relate to one another and care about one another. When you expose people to the Word of God and to the people of God, over time, the Spirit of God does a work of God to bring them into the family of God. Sunday school serves as entry-level discipleship. It's a group of people who are gathered to talk about the Bible and how we should apply its principles in our everyday lives. It may not be the deepest level discipleship, but it is entry level. And some members have their first experience in Christian service in the context of a Sunday school class. They may only be serving as the class secretary, but it is their first baby step. Some would reply, "We meet this need in our weeknight home Bible studies." Well, that can absolutely meet the need. It's not about when or where, but about the function. However, let's do ask ourselves, are our children learning anything? Or are we merely babysitting them so the adults can be together? The advantage the traditional Sunday school has, and which cannot be denied, is that everyone in the family is together at church at the same time. Everyone in the family can learn at the same time. It works for everyone because it's one block of time. 2 hours isn't that much harder than 1 hour. And it's not on yet another day of the week. So whether you call them life groups or Bible study groups or what, it can still work, and it's a good idea. Track 3. So what can the pastor do to make small groups stronger? Well, first of all, if what you have are a few long-existing, entrenched Sunday school classes, you're going to have to plow around the stumps. You, as pastor, must champion starting new classes to reach new pockets of people. New classes are better at welcoming new members in and making them feel like part of the group. They are better at winning people to Christ. People in the existing classes, though, are going to be afraid that you're going to split their class and rob them of their members. Nominating committees have a way of ending up spending all of their time enlisting preschool workers. So you're going to have to be the one to take the lead. Identify a pocket of people in the community. Here at smalltownbaptist.net, we have audio on how to start new classes like you would plant a new church. Listen to that. And as you do, make your class the model class for how it should be done. Enlist some care group leaders and a secretary and a fellowship leader. Develop an invite list and let your class help in inviting. And once you've got the class on its feet, start another one. Track 4. You could lead an ongoing pastor's class. These are often catch-all classes for adults across a wide spectrum who don't feel like they fit in anywhere else in the Sunday school. This approach is usually used in churches which don't yet have the workers to staff every class. Another variation on this thing is to lead a membership information class. In this approach, you explain the gospel and basic Christian beliefs, denominational distinctives, and explain how your local church operates. You could do this in such a way that you do it in a loop, so to speak, so that if someone joins your class on week 4, they continue in the class until they've been through all the sessions. Someone might even want to go through the class a second time, but over time, they will move into a regular class. Yet even another variation would be to lead a class in which you teach through a book of the Bible, say Ephesians, and then start over. The goal is to help those who attend find another class in your Sunday school. Church size and the number of visitors who come to your church will determine if any of these options will work for you. Track 5. The pastor can help clarify the purpose of Sunday school. Sunday school classes exist to reach people, minister to those people, and to teach them the Bible. We don't have Sunday school because it's a tradition, something the church has always done. We don't have Sunday school because the denomination tells us we are supposed to. Explain it in biblical terms and in ways modern people will understand. Avoid using denominational lingo. Explain it in plain language. Help your leaders and your church members understand why. Because when you know the why, you know the what. Track 6. Provide training for your teachers. Many have attended boring training events, and they will be reluctant to go back. So make dead certain it's going to be worth their time. Maybe your association doesn't provide such training. Well, you can pick a trainer. Maybe go in together with another church in your area. Bring them in to teach your people. If they won't go to training, then you can do 5-minute mini training sessions for your members as a part of the worship service over 6 or 8 weeks. A video highlight might work here. Mention principles of good Bible study groups in your sermons as illustration or an application. Here's an example. Zechariah 4:10 discusses the rebuilding of the temple, and it has this phrase, "Who has despised the days of small things?" The people in Jerusalem thought the start of the temple looked too small. "We don't want to be part of that new Sunday school class starting up. We want to stay with our friends in the class that's up and going." Yeah, we too can despise the day of small things. Talk about participation in Sunday school as a normal and expected thing in your worship service. When presenting a new member, mention which Bible study group of which they are a part. You could then say something along these lines. "How many of you are a part of a Sunday school class? Yes, we believe here that this is an important part of church membership." Track 7. Have annual Sunday school worker appreciation banquets. Make it an especially nice meal and give your workers a quality Bible study resource as an appreciation gift. Perhaps a Bible dictionary in hardback, printed on glossy paper with pictures, or maybe a good one-volume commentary, or a dictionary of Bible words, or a book on manners and customs of the Bible. You say, "Well, those cost good money." Well, sure they do. But you're investing in your teachers. You will have just given them a tool they will use in lesson preparation for years to come. So plan ahead and budget to do it. And at the banquet, remind your teachers and workers how important they are. Remind them how important it is what they are doing. You may be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. That is nothing compared, though, to teaching God's word and to shepherding your part of His flock. Track 8. If you're going to have Bible studies on campus, you need to do everything you possibly can to provide quality space. Many Sunday school classes we see are trying to capture that home Bible study feeling. They will put 4 tables together in the center of the classroom. You see what's going on there. So give it a homey feeling. Replace the worn carpet, paint the room, replace old brown ceiling tiles, clean out the junk, refurbish. Make certain the preschool space looks at least as nice as the daycares your member families use. They will be making the comparison. And if necessary, lead your congregation to build. Track 9. Don't let people fall between the cracks. And this will happen unless you have a plan for keeping it from happening, including new members and caregiving. It all must be done on purpose. It must be intentional. Your long-term members are friends with each other. They have known each other for decades. In class, they may lean over and speak across a new class member to discuss something that happened back in preschool. They'll take care of each other. But newer members can go missing and it be unnoticed. This is why you train your class secretaries to alert their teachers when this happens. This is why you have care group leaders to check on their missing group members. If you've seen the reruns on Gomer Pyle, he would tell people sometimes, "Sergeant Carter says the private is the backbone of the Corps." Well, let me tell you this. The care group leader is the backbone of the Sunday school. Enlist them and train them. Track 10. What do you do if you cannot get your congregation to go along with you on strengthening your Sunday school? Then, as important as expository preaching is, that is, preaching the Bible from the Bible, it becomes even more important than ever. Because many today don't know their Bible stories or the Old Testament from the New Testament. Many don't study their Bibles or read their Bibles at home. So, brother, tag, you're it. We can't merely read a passage and then launch off on a journey of personal opinion or just provide an emotional experience of inspiration. We need to preach through books of the Bible. As Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8 says, they read distinctively from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. This will not meet all the needs in developing disciples, of fellowship, of participating in the group, but it is the key indispensable element. Well, these are some things to think about, perhaps an idea or two you could use. You can modify them to meet your church's need or blend a couple of them. And you can find more free resources like this here at smalltownbaptist.net.